again.
Yes, yes, back for another.
How's your week been?
I've been watching been changing dirty diapers on a 2-year-old for the past few days.
Nice.
Helping some friends out whose babysitter canceled at the last minute.
I was going to say, it's like you had permission to do that, right?
Yes, yeah. Yeah. I did. I wasn't just going around changing random diapers that I felt as though were dirty.
Yeah, it's been an interesting week for me. Just, I don't know why, summer vacation, kids off their schedule, but last night they just both decided that right at around 7, they decided they were going to just scream, and they stayed doing that till about 9.
It happens.
It was just like, please God, just, I'll give you a pony and a piece of candy if you just shut up. And you know, they're both like, bah. So,
pony now.
Yeah. My daughter's got this like ultimatum thing going on. I'll stop screaming if you do this. I'm like, you are in absolutely no position to start throwing down demands. This is not a hostage situation. Which, oddly enough, it kind of was, and she was she was winning. But anyway, enough about that. So, anyway, it's making me think I want vacation real bad.
Is it time?
To drop the kids off at grandma's house.
As long as you're not taking them with you, just in a hotel room. No, that could be even worse.
So, I started thinking of some places to go, and here we are. So, everybody, welcome to Scary Dad Podcast episode 38, where we're going to talk about our horror bucket lists. Places that we want to go and we want to see before we croak.
Yes.
Because I think the way I've heard it, ghosts pretty much hang around where they're at, where they're from. You're not going to hop over to Transylvania once that bucket's been kicked. So, so we're going to get into some of that, some travel plans. Let's get right into it. We've got not a very long history segment as far as events go. This is landing on July 3rd of 2017.
Happy 4th of July, folks.
So happy 4th of July tomorrow. Pop some fireworks. Do not set the mortar shell on your head and try to launch it, because you will die.
Make sure you use the right size tube also. Don't think you can switch tubes up between mortar shells.
So, and then yesterday, July 2nd, was my sister's birthday. So happy birthday to Kerr, my blister extraordinaire. That means probably today I'm well and hungover. I morphed back in time to be the unhungover me to do the podcast.
There is a little pool party going on for that too, if I'm not mistaken.
There is a little pool party going on for that. So
they swing by.
It's good times, good folks. So that was July 2nd, which was yesterday.
Yes.
So let's go further back in the Wayback Machine. This date, in 1035, William the Conqueror becomes the Duke of Normandy.
Duke.
My name's William. I don't have the moniker the Conqueror. Some days I think I might want to, but then I figure it's easier to watch TV. This date in 1608... Quebec City is founded by Samuel de Champlain. Not very scary, except for Champlain is also the namesake of the lake where Champ is from,
yes.
Which is one of the monsters we talked about in our last episode.
Yeah, I'm ready to get back to that cryptozoology thing.
Absolutely. This date in 1863 in the U.S. Civil War, Battle of Gettysburg, was Pickett's Charge. It's the final day of the Battle of Gettysburg. The farthest point reached is called the high water mark of the Confederacy. Confederate casualty rate was at 50% out of 12,000 men. So basically 6,555 casualties, 1,123 killed on the field, 4,019 wounded, and a total of 3,750 captured. So they captured a lot of the wounded.
Yeah.
It was a turning point in the war. Up until that point, regardless of what some revisionists would have you think, the South was walking around kicking ass and taking names. This was a this was going to be the deciding factor in the war. If they got through at Gettysburg, basically they were going to march into Washington and it would have been over.
Right.
But they stopped them at Gettysburg, and after that, it just, the dominoes tumbled in the other direction in favor of the North. So, why do we talk about that? Because it's history. Because mm-hmm. it's horrifying.
And yeah, I was about to say,
if you're not paying attention, you know, this kind of stuff doesn't happen in a vacuum.
Right.
You know, like, it can repeat itself.
During that war especially, when we say wounded, it's not like a little bullet hole. Wounded back then was some bad shit, because the rounds they used and the bullets were very large, they were very heavy.
And very slow.
And yeah, and it was, and the infections and everything else, we're talking, you know, they didn't just do surgery where they popped the bullet out and sewed it up. They would amputate a lot.
Mm-hmm.
That was the answer to pretty much most wounds, where they just cut it off.
Well, even if they could save it in a traditional hospital setting, when you have thousands, you're running triage. You look and you say, this man can't be saved. This one can if we cut his arm off, and then you work your way down to like the most minor wounds.
Right.
The doctors, you don't have that many doctors to
deal wounds with, back then were horrific,
with thousands and thousands of traumatic wounds on both sides. I mean, it was a travesty on both sides.
Right.
It was a horrible, horrible thing. So that was 1863. 1913, 50 years later, Pickett's charge was reenacted by veterans of the battle. Upon reaching the high water mark, Confederate veterans met with hands of friendship from Union survivors. So basically, it was kind of a burying of the hatchet, sort of putting the past behind them. Back in 1913, mm-hmm. 50 years not 50 years after the end of the war, but 50 years after the battle. And in 2017, everybody's stupid because they aren't educated and don't know history. So they're pulling down. They're trying to whitewash and cover over history.
Yeah, which frustrates me.
It's a frustrating factor. And we don't even want to go into it, but it's just one of those things of like, if people who were there can shake hands and be like, "Man, you shot me in the shoulder and made me lose my arm, but I'll shake your hand and we'll move forward." But a whole bunch of kids that have an internet keyboard and like to talk shit are making everybody hate each other again.
Well, one thing I always throw out there, which I'll throw out there real quick just because it's a personal anecdote, so it's not like I'm really getting political, but I'm Creole, I'm black, South Louisiana, very light skinned, lots of Native American in my background. My dad was in the Navy. He was a patrol boat guy in Vietnam. He was in there with a bunch of Yankees on his boat, so he wanted to represent where he was from because he's a very proud Southerner from Louisiana. So he got a Confederate flag tattoo on his forearm. Black guy with a Confederate flag tattoo did not go well once he got back home, and he used to take a lot of shit for that. But it was his idea of being proud from the South. It had nothing at all to do with race. You know, it was a symbol of Southern heritage. You know. I mean, I won't get into the reasons for the war or anything like that. I won't go that deep into it, but it's not always a sign of hatred. Sometimes it's a sign of just Southern pride.
Well, and that's one of those things, too. Again, we can dance on the line of the political. There was a lot of reasons on both sides for the war to have happened. But we've talked in the past about the average guy in the uniform carrying had nothing to do with it.
Nothing in the game.
Had nothing to do with it. They drafted, they conscripted on both sides. I mean, it's there was no good on either side.
Mm-hmm.
And even now, if you look at actual like statistics in the people who actually own slaves, and you're hearing all of these arguments about the 1% and the elite, they were the ones who owned the slaves. That. You know, your average guy on the street couldn't rub two pennies together.
Sorry, I was distracted by a topless woman coming out of the lake.
That'll do it. So, you know, they couldn't rub two pennies together, and they didn't have shoes. So it wasn't like they were the ones.
They had nothing in the game. They had nothing to gain from it.
They were just pointed in a direction and told to march.
Right.
And then whenever they came upon people in different color uniforms,
shoot
them. And they couldn't leave. So anyway, that's enough of that. That's that's the real horror. All right, so births. 1948. Kurtwood Smith. Clarence Boddicker.
Okay.
From RoboCop.
Yes.
Then he was Red Foreman in that 70s show.
Yep.
I'll put a boot in your ass. 1956, Montel Williams. He himself isn't very scary, but he's had some pretty scary people on his show.
Oh, yeah. He's a pretty interesting success story, though.
Oh, absolutely.
He really has found his niche.
Oh, for sure. 1962, the man who couldn't reboot of the horror movie franchise, Mr. Tom Cruise.
Have you ever delved into the thing with his teeth?
Mm-mm.
If you notice picture, you're going to look at this now and you will never not miss it. If you look at him when he's smiling, you know, most people, that the gap in their tooth or where the tooth breaks right in the center of the face, mm-hmm. his is offset.
Oh, yeah.
That's my alien conspiracy behind Tom Cruise. They messed up. They forgot to put the gap right in the center, and it's off center. You'll notice it every time you see a picture of him now, I'm telling you. I've never seen anyone else with that in their mouth, but he definitely has it.
Wow. I'll have to take a look. 1964, Yeardley Smith, who's the voice of Lisa Simpson.
Sorry.
For those of us, including me, since it's behind me, for those of us just joining us, I found a DVD at the thrift
VHS.
Store.
VHS
at the thrift store, and it's entitled "Bimbo Movie Bash," and the cover of it looks sort of like Independence Day, but basically it's all these like scream queens.
It's a few of our favorite scream queens from the '80s running around topless,
and they're all just walking around like basically topless and flying spaceships. It's I don't think a better movie has ever been made. Schindler's List is probably around like 6 of 10. This is 10 of 10. All right. Deaths on this date. 1969, Brian Jones from the Rolling Stones. And 1971, Mr. Jim Morrison.
Okay.
The Lizard King.
Yes.
So that's old business. Let's talk about new business.
Yeah, I got a little bit of news, not a whole lot, just a few movie and television things to bring up. One I wanted to bring up, a couple that I have met before, and they are a very, very nice couple and also incredibly talented, Michael and Jennifer Bean. Everyone knows Michael Bean, of course, from so many movies, Aliens,
Terminator.
Abyss, Terminator. He's been in so much. Well, Jennifer also acts, and she has her second directorial movie starring Michael Biehn, actually, in Tia Carrere. She's up for an award, one of the Saturn Awards, which are being issued tonight, as a matter of fact, when we tape this, which is Wednesday the 28th. So by the time this airs, you'll know if she won or not. But yeah, she's up for award, and Saturn Awards are genre specific for horror, so it's okay. A pretty big deal. She has a movie that she made called The Girl, which like I said, it stars Michael Biehn as a psychotic who has his girl kidnapped in his house, and his wife just kind of ignores it, and his son is the only one that points out every once in a while, isn't it strange that we have a girl tied up in the garage and she's screaming for help and we're not doing anything for her? So it looks like an interesting movie. I've seen the trailers for it. Something I'm looking forward to seeing for sure. So good luck to Jennifer tonight. Hope you definitely win that. Another one I want to talk about. Are you familiar with The Low Files?
Mm-mm.
Okay, The Low Files are A&E's upcoming X-Files type show starring Rob Lowe and his two sons, Matthew and John Owen, as they go about looking for the supernatural.
Okay.
Don't you just want to watch it now? Isn't
it just
definitely up your alley? Well, he's kind of setting up the series, talking about some things, and apparently he had an encounter in the Ozark with what he thinks is a Bigfoot, and actually thought he was going to be killed by it. So, first season is going to be 9 episodes. The Bigfoot episode is going to be until the season finale. But it will be premiering in August on A&E, so that's something to look forward to. Rob Lowe's cool. I've always liked the roles that he's done. He's a good actor and everything, so I definitely enjoy his parts. And another thing I wanted to bring up, which I'm bringing it up, we've never talked about it before, but you kind of have an idea that one of my favorite comic book series is Razor. It's a dark book. It's a female hero, anti-hero, I guess you could say. She kind of does some dark stuff. Well, you know, they're making a movie this year. They're working on it right now. And The producer is the same producer from The Crow, and the director is from XXX, Fast and the Furious. So they got some pretty big names behind it as far as working on it. And that film adaptation will be coming soon, and I reread Dark Razor the other day, and it had me thinking about it. I just wanted to bring that up. It's if you're not familiar with Razor, she's had crossovers with The Crow, with Ariola the Warrior Nun, with she actually made her first appearance in Razor.
Okay.
It's a really, really, it's similar to The Crow in its darkness, and it's an anti-hero that's out for good. Except she's not like a dead person. She's just someone who's been through a lot of shit in her life.
Okay.
And just is just trying to fight, and kind of like that in Boondock Saints, that kind of hero where, you know, they're killing the bad guys. They're still killing, but they're killing bad guys. So Right. Can you be that unhappy about it? So that's something definitely to look forward to. And I'll keep everyone updated as more information comes out about it. So,
rock and roll.
Yes.
So let's get into the beef of it. That was
it's a wiffle ball bat that one was just using. I just noticed because it still had the ball attached to the top of it.
Best movie ever, dude. So
Julie Strain's in it. How can you complain? 6'1" and worth the climb, as they say. Oh, you brought up the Sea Monster episode. I wanted to tell you a couple nights ago. I meant to tell you this when it happened, but I'm sitting with my kids, and we're at this house that I'm house-sitting at with the kids that I'm watching, and they have two dogs, a little, Yorkie and a rat terrier. And we're sitting at the table, and my daughter goes, I don't know why this dog is still asking for food. I already gave it a little bit. And I said, damn it, woman! What you expect? You give it food, it's going to come back. And just the Loch Ness Monster episode just popped in my head immediately. That's why it keeps coming around.
We were so scared. Oh, man, it's classic. So where do you want to go on vacation, man?
Everywhere. Well, on this topic, I got a few that I wrote down that I came up with. One that I've always wanted to do, man, and there's actually a website where they kind of form out these options at different places around the country, but I've always wanted to spend the night in an old abandoned asylum, like we've talked about in one of our mm-hmm. episodes, just for that creepiness feel of it, and just to see what I see, because you can imagine just the horror and death that has occurred in these places. There's got to be some supernatural entity behind those,
because
that's just a place where, you know, people have died in a bad way, and I could just see just a purgatory happening there. And there's a lot of them out there that you can do stays at. So I might put a link up on the website to the site that I found where you can find all these. But it's reasonably priced, like $149 a night to go stay. And that's for a private room, or you can get set up in like, you know, they had the large rooms where, you know, it was a whole bunch of beds in one, and they just put a whole bunch of people in there sleeping together, which would be interesting to say the least. Get a big group to go. It would be cool, man. Definitely, because a lot of them are still in the same state they were in when they were abandoned. I mean, it's not like a posh hotel. There's not real nice accommodations there and stuff, but you get the true feel of what a lot of people went through. And I think that would be real cool.
Yeah, just your surroundings in general.
Yeah. And just you learn more about the history of it and stuff. And it would definitely be interesting to check out for a weekend.
Well, we almost booked this one, but one place that I would really like to see is the Stanley Hotel. Mm-hmm. It's in Estes Park, Colorado, which is about an hour and a half, 2 hour drive from Denver. And it is the hotel that Stephen King stayed in whenever he came up with the idea for The Shining. And the hotel itself is reputed to be pretty haunted. It's got quite a varied history. I mean, not anything particularly like malevolent or evil, but just a lot of pass through, like the owners. You know, you hear piano music and stuff like that.
Well, isn't there a particular room there also that people stay in that whenever ghost hunters, I guess you could say, go to sleep?
Well, there are a couple that are more activity-wise than others.
Right. There's one that I've seen videos on where this guy was sleeping. He had the cameras on, like a glass next to the table cracked on its own right there.
He was
sleeping, stuff like that.
There are things like that. I mean, apparently, you know, it's just a really nice place as far as things go. It's like a really nice upper echelon, nice hotel. Like the 1997 Shining movie was filmed there, and it is the hotel that's described in the book. So whenever he describes, you know, the different floors and the hallways and all the different stuff in the book, he's describing the Stanley.
Right.
And
he had stayed there, and it was the inspiration. So
he stayed there, and he got he basically had a nightmare and he woke up and started sketching out the idea for the book.
Right.
And there was the idea, apparently he was there on closing day. So this was not a resort. I guess the area of the mountains that it was in, it was not, it wasn't ski friendly. And
well, it was seasonal. So whenever the weather got too bad, they would just shut down.
Right. And he and his wife were there on closing day. And so, like, all the chairs were up on the tables, and they had, like, music being piped through, or they had a band there or something that was, like, contracted to be there as long as there was guests, but they were playing for, like, one couple. And it's just, you know, just kind of surreal.
Right.
And it, you know, nothing necessarily, like, again, bad, but just surreal. And then he had a nightmare and wrote The Shining. But that's a place... Anyway, I looked it up, and for a single ticket, just for a one ticket, it's a $204 round trip. And then the hotel is $179 a night.
It's not too bad.
It's not bad.
It's not bad at all.
Disney, in February, is keeping us from going now. But we'll probably go in the next year or so.
Okay.
And check it
cool.
out.
Cool.
Very so, cool. Yeah, we almost pushed the button on it. Southwest had some sales. We're like, but do we really want to spend? Because between the flight, the rental, the hotel for a couple of nights, you know, you're out of grand.
Right.
For the two of you. For meals and snacks and everything else.
Right.
So we just didn't have a grand to throw at it. We've got an expo to run, so.
Another spot that has it's on my list just to check out, and I've been close to it. I've been on the same island as it before, but I've always wanted to go to Haiti just to go ahead and check out just that voodoo culture that's entrenched there. You know, just the Creole lineage has a lot to do with Haiti. They speak mm-hmm. French there, of course. And just to go ahead and just to really be into it, because, you know, I know a little bit about it from where I'm from. Some of the, being that traditional voodoo is tied so much into Catholicism, it just kind of went hand in hand with a few just traditional wives tales and stuff that I grew up with. But just to actually be in that epicenter over there and just check out just some of the rituals and stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm sure there's all the touristy stuff at restaurants that you go when they do certain you know, performances and everything and dances, but just to get a little bit of that feel.
I wouldn't know, dude. I wouldn't really necessarily think of Haiti as a place a whole lot of tourists go.
Right, but I'm sure there are some spots.
I'm
though.
Sure there
Haiti,
are.
Haiti, one of the, you know, I was in Dominican Republic for like a month, and just Haiti had just such a bad reputation back then. That was a long time ago when I was there, but they had essentially Haiti had used up all their natural resources, so they would actually come across the border and steal shit like trees, because they didn't have any more trees for wood. You know, they had just the country just sounds incredibly poor and, mm-hmm. and bad, and especially after the devastation of the last hurricane, they had the real bad one, but. I'm sure it's rebuilt up some. It's just a place that I would love to visit just to check out that culture. Remember David Blaine went there for a short time when he was doing his little shtick, and he freaked some people out by pulling the chicken's head off and putting it back on, and people like kind of lost their minds and everything. But like I said, it'd be interesting just to see the where it came from, just
oh,
that
for
old
sure.
school stuff. So,
I'm a big history buff. You know, that's... so, yeah, I mean, that's my... like. Not necessarily Haiti, but definitely like the authentic culture of mm-hmm. some of these sorts of things. And because, you know, I'm not a voodoo and I'm also not a Catholic.
Right.
So I don't, you know, like I, it's all anecdotal to me regardless,
mm-hmm.
you know, but to be, so in our New Orleans episode or our voodoo episode, when I was asking what you thought about New Orleans, like I've always loved, I mean, it's an atmosphere.
Yeah.
In New Orleans, it's an atmosphere. It's a food and music and, It's dark, but let's call it like gray. It's like there's, you can get away with doing things that you can't get away with doing things elsewhere,
right.
And it's just a little bit. I don't want to say it's sinister, but it's
mysterious.
It's mysterious, but it's relative. It's safe unless
yeah.
you go down back alleys. But there's some areas in the world that are not safe.
Oh no!
And
no.
Just to be able to see some of those and be interesting. I don't think I could pass. I'd get there and they'd look at me and be like, yeah, you don't belong. One place I probably would get away, it cost for a single ticket, $1,380 for a round trip to Bucharest, but to go see Dracula's castle. I think that would be pretty badass.
Oh yeah, definitely. Any castle, actually, especially that one in particular. Would be
well, I've seen a couple when we went to Germany. So we saw it was Castle Heidelberg and Castle Neuschwanstein. So when we planned our trip, my wife more or less planned the trip because I was in school and thinking about stuff after I was done writing thousand word papers every day was not, you know, I wasn't interested. But one of the things when we were going to Germany, what do you want to see? I wanted to see original and authentic, not rebuilt. Because most of the country was rebuilt after World War II.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff that you see in pictures of castles and, you know, old medieval-looking stuff, it was all rebuilt.
It had been updated.
It was all built from rubble after it got the hell bombed out of it for 5 years. So a lot of people don't realize that just because they on VE Day they signed the papers, but they still fought for a good long time. There was house to house fighting, so there was a lot of shit just destroyed. Plus the Nazis destroyed a lot of shit on their retreat too. So, but Heidelberg was one of the few cities that was actually taken by the Allies early. It was not bombed, and it's much the same as it stood for the last several hundred years. It's a medieval city. Very Christmas town. It's up in the Smoky Mountains in Germany. So you wake up and you got like this low-hanging fog, and they've got this, it's a castle fortress up on the mountain, and it takes a long time to get up there. You have, you know, like a stairway to walk.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeous. It's really, really cool. We went to Neuschwanstein, which you've ever seen Cinderella's castle in Disney World. That's the model for it. So if you've ever seen those pictures online of the of that German castle, that's Neuschwanstein. So I've been to a couple of castles, but none of them are dripping with the blood of thousands of Turks that have been impaled.
Somebody came and cleaned all that up.
Yeah, somebody came and and fixed that. So the birds helped. But yeah, so for the low price of $1,380, you can go out, and then I think it's like $50 to tour the castle. So Romania is not very rich.
Right.
What else you got?
I'm trying to remember where that third one was that I had. Go ahead and go to your next one.
You mentioned Coral Castle.
Coral Castle, yeah, that's another one.
I didn't put it on my list because I knew it was going to be on yours.
Coral Castle is definitely that. We've done an episode about it. Talked about how just fascinated I am with it, how it's just an engineering marvel that this guy was able to build this place. Coral Castle, for those that missed that episode, it's this this immigrant. He built this humongous complex out of rock, out of stone. Similar to Carl, but these just huge multi-ton pieces of rock that he was able to move by himself with no equipment, set in place, and design his own castle fortress with huge 9-10 foot walls and furniture made out of the same rock and everything else. And it's a pretty amazing story. Check out our episode on the Carl Castle. You'll definitely be fascinated. There's the naked women now. You'll definitely be fascinated with it. And I know there's a place that you'd like to go to also, Billy, just to check out.
Absolutely.
He said it's an engineering marvel what the guy was able to achieve with it.
I never knew it was there. And then I re-listened to our episode the other day. It was like, man, why are we not there yet? This is badass.
It's in the United States. It's in Florida. Yeah. You know? It's not like it's an overseas trip or anything like
it's
that.
It's near the Keys.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Well, next on my list harkens back to last episode. I've always wanted to see Loch Ness.
Yeah.
Have that bitch pop up and say, "Give me 350."
That could be a remote podcast for us, man.
Yeah,
and record out there.
But you know, see that castle there too.
Yeah,
you know, you always see that picture of Loch Ness with that castle up on the bank, and to tour that castle. And you know, it's in Inverness, and Scotland is not a very big place. So if you're gonna go, you can check out a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah. In my old band, we had our drummer was Scottish, and I'd ask him, like, dude, when you were a kid, did y'all, like, take field trips to the castles? He's like, oh, yeah. I've seen all kinds of them. Like, there's so many of them, you just get used to them being there. It's like, bastard. But then, to be fair, I've been to like all the Spanish missions in Texas too. So
right
when they're there, you go.
Yeah,
you know, take a look and kind of take them for granted because I haven't been to one in a long, long time. Even though the San Jacinto is just right there.
But history is just a wonderful thing. I mean, we both talked about that. It's something you shouldn't forget. You
absolutely.
Know, and you can learn so much from it. That's why I always love museums. You know,
it's Mr. Pitt.
It sure is. I just realized that.
Yes, we are watching a movie as we podcast because this thing was just too ridiculous to pass up.
And just so you know, the level, there were two women just walking along the beach with one of the old school silver boom boxes, decided to stop while in the middle of their walk and do some dancing and gyrating in the middle of the beach for absolutely no reason whatsoever.
And Mr. Pitt from Seinfeld. And he looks like he's doing a strip tease.
Yeah, he has a peace sign tattoo on his chest. He's groovy.
So next on my list, even though I just did Loch Ness, if you want to do one, going back to the main theme that kind of runs through the whole show, the whole, like, sharks, cage diving with great whites.
Yes, yeah, that's actually one that I was thinking of myself. I saw a news article the other day showing that the number of great white sharks around Cape Cod is triple from what it was like 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all of a sudden having an explosion in the population right now, which is interesting.
Yeah, there's been a lot of videos of great whites either beaching themselves or just coming in close or circling boats or jumping into boats or
right.
Like,
well, on the other,
turning into kind of a scourge.
The other article I saw involving great whites this past week was there's apparently, the way the article put it, there's a serial killer whale out there killing great white sharks. They found like 5 or 6 of them off the coast of South Africa with their livers removed, like just torn up by a killer whale.
Oh, wow.
There's a killer whale going around just offing all the great white sharks it can, man, which I found was pretty interesting. Now the population down on that side isn't exploding like in other places. It's still pretty low, but it's killing some pretty large great whites, you know, the big boys.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I found that interesting. They're trying to find this killer whale that's doing it, actually, to stop him. Sounds like a good movie, don't it?
Sounds like a good movie, but... So, my in-laws live on one of those big man-made lakes, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of like the master plan community. And this is probably 8 or 9 years now, but... So they got swans. Like, swans are stocked. You know, somebody brings swans from somewhere else and puts them, they put a breeding pair on the lake. And they got ducks and they got other stuff. And for whatever reason, the swans would decide to nest in their yard. Like, so right up next to their house. So for like a few weeks every year, you go out in their backyard and you get attacked by Papa Swan who'll kick your ass.
They're mean. They're mean. Yeah.
And so anyway, then they have the babies, and then you got these baby swans, which the ugly ducking is true. Those things are ugly little son bitches. But anyway, the swans go swimming, and most of the time they get eaten by either the fish or the turtles.
Yeah.
They get pulled under from underneath. Well, this year, that year, a couple of them got taken out by a raccoon that was living under the dock. And he was up in a tree. So my mother-in-law went out and saw like the feathers and saw the raccoon and like got all flipped out and made my father-in-law go out and shoot the raccoon. And when asked why would you kill the raccoon, she's like, because it's my own little piece of nature. And I'm like, but that's what nature is.
Survival of the fittest.
Things eating each other. That's what they do. So like, yeah, I mean, if you got a killer whale that's got himself a taste of shark liver, that's nature, man.
Right.
I mean, unless he's being driven by some sort of shark-hating James Bond villain or something. That's his job.
That's what a chip they placed in his head where they have a remote control, they're able to drive him around. you know, baby swans get eaten by fish. Remember, I used to work at this office in Sugar Land. we had a huge lake, and they had these big 3-4 foot catfish in the lake. And we used to feed them the old biscuits from the cafeteria during our first smoke break in the morning. We'd go out, and these biscuits were huge, man. You'd throw them out there, and they just swallow them whole, pull them in. And one morning, we were throwing biscuits out, and one of the swans saw we were throwing some biscuits out there and decided to come eat, where the baby swans decided to follow. And all three of those baby swans, man, those catfish came up, sucked them right in, dude. It was so sad, man. It's like we drew it in and kind of just...
Whatever.
Let nature take its course. Yeah, those three swans went quick.
You've seen those groupers eat those sharks.
Yeah.
Those videos of those big, like, I mean, you can't even see those guys. The shark on the line, and then all of a sudden the grouper comes up and it's just like...
Oh, yeah. Fish are scary, man. Well, I've told you, you know, we used to catch those tuna offshore, and the barracuda would rip them in half with one swipe. It's crazy. I mean, when we catch the big amberjack and grouper and stuff down low, looking at 2-3 foot fish we'd have on that hook. And, you know, they eat just like a bass does, where when it opens its mouth, it kind of pulls all the water into its mouth. And it just, if anything's right there in that path, it's going to get sucked into that grouper's mouth and it's gone. You know, it's, fish are fascinating. And saltwater fish are scary as hell. There's some fish out there that...
There's a video on, I guess it was the Chive, or some dude, I don't know if he caught it or if it just came up there and was checking him out, but his surfboard was getting attacked by a giant squid.
Oh, wow.
The squid itself was probably like 8 or 9 feet long, and he was like poking at it, and then it just like wrapped up his surfboard and dumped him out. He's like, ah! Like,
so tied to it, trying to get it off his ankle. Man, that's crazy. Same by the way just now. Well, another one that I definitely want to try to check out, and I plan on doing it this year, is the station out in Bastrop, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Museum they have out there. Very affordable. You know, Bastrop, for our stands, is a nice little quiet town. It's a good place to check out. They'll be having a con this year, of course, first weekend of October. But yeah, the station was actually featured in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and one of the... Friday the 13th movies. They filmed both there. It's run by Ed Neal, who was the hitchhiker in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. But that's definitely a place that I want to check out soon. I've been hearing about it for about a year. I've always heard good stuff about it. So plan on going there this year for sure.
Cool.
And checking that one out.
Another one I'd really like to see is the Myrtles in Louisiana.
Yeah.
The Myrtles Plantation, reputedly one of the more haunted places in America.
Yeah.
You can see quite a few...
I've been there before. They still have those slave quarters up and everything that they actually...
It's all original.
They used the slave quarters for a couple of movies that they filmed. It was a World War II movie they filmed over there. And it's weird because where the slave quarters are, you see all these palm trees that were planted for the set of the movie they filmed. And they just never took them out. They're not supposed to be there, but it's kind of surreal when you see that part there. But yeah, it's all the plantation homes in Louisiana are real. I've been to most of them. Mm-hmm. They're pretty impressive.
You know, yeah.
Oak Alley, which is where they filmed Interview with a Vampire. That's another real good one to check out. Beautiful. You know, the grounds are gorgeous. My hometown has one called The Shadows on the Tesh. And that one, we used to hear all the ghost stories. The little boy died by accident. He fell off the balcony of the top floor of that plantation home. And his ghost is said to roam those halls. I actually did a play when I was in elementary school at that plantation home. I was Santa Claus.
Oh,
I got
wow.
some pictures of it. But yeah, so yeah, the plantation homes in Louisiana are definitely worth the trip. They're always fun to check out, and a lot of history behind those places. The ones that weren't torched after the Civil War, of course.
I think New Orleans pretty much survived.
Yeah.
Or not
yeah.
New Orleans, but Louisiana didn't do too bad.
It didn't do too bad, no. Most of the places are still there. And the areas, of, you know, Louisiana's a very historic place. There's a lot of background. They try to preserve all that stuff pretty well, so.
Because, mm-hmm. Yeah, like Atlanta, like Georgia, it's pretty, you got burnt. You know, like there's no messing around. They burnt that stuff down. But, yep. Ain't no Terra.
Yeah, the Myrtles I've always heard good stuff about. I've always heard that's a cool place.
I'd like to see the Queen Mary. I hear that's pretty seriously haunted as well. That's out in California.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we looked at it when we were up there, but it was just too far away from where we were, and it just we weren't going to be able to make it. But that's cool,
right?
You know,
Another one back in Louisiana, which we talked about before, is I'd love to do a nighttime swamp tour, because there's a couple of areas where you could do swamp tours at, where, you know, there were slave revolts that were put down, where people were killed out there in large numbers and stuff, and it's said that you can hear, you know, the souls yelling for help and wailing in the night as they're in the swamp itself. There's some cool stuff to see out there, man, that I'd like to do. But a nighttime swamp tour, I think, would be real cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, gig you some frogs.
Yeah, we're at the con. We used to do that all the time. But I can remember going fishing. My son would especially freak out when we go fishing at night, because it's just really eerie being way out there on these little canals away from everything. Because, mm-hmm. you know, when you talk black and dark, this is the dark as it can get. You know, there's no lights anywhere around except for what you bring. Mm-hmm. And it can get pretty creepy out there. You hear some weird sounds out there at night. But I used to love night fishing. Night fishing was fun.
There's a lot of fun stuff to do in around Houston and Galveston and stuff. I've done a lot of it, you know, kind of like the ghost tours in Galveston.
There's some of the ghost tours. I've done the ghost tour in the Heights, a couple of other ones. There's some history in Houston for sure.
Mm-hmm. City just lets everything get torn down, so yeah. It's kind of frustrating because there's something cool, something haunted. Now it's a parking lot mm-hmm. or a Chipotle. You know, we take care of our own here.
Right.
But no, that place we talked about in our asylums episode, that place that's the model for Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
I would like to check that out. That would be super cool to walk those halls.
And right. Well, the website I was telling you about, there's a list of at least 50 different haunted places in the country that you can visit, and they set everything up through their website.
Mm-hmm.
And there's probably 10 or 12 asylums alone that you can go ahead and spend the night at and check out and stuff, so...
Imagine some stuff that was still there that you could take a look at.
Yeah.
It's not there anymore. Like the Killing House, H.H. Holmes's mm-hmm. castle in Chicago, where he killed all those people.
Right. That was the acid bath stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And gas chambers mm-hmm. and heated floors and just some evil stuff.
Just that kind of stuff, just... those places like that, just the fact that so many people died there and passed there is just like in a Constantine, whenever they have the scene with the electric chair from Alcatraz, and you know, and Papa Midnight's like, you know, so many souls have passed through this chair, you know, mm-hmm. just think about that.
Oh, for sure.
How can it not hold some kind of the supernatural, just something, possess some kind of spirit within it, you know? It's crazy, man.
For sure. Oh, no, man, I believe it. I want, you know, that's why I'm interested in seeing this stuff. It's like, as far as, like, Dracula, it's not that his story has been overblown, but, you know, like, his mythos is different from who he actually was.
Right.
But he was still responsible. I mean, he was a mean guy.
Oh, yeah.
He was not friendly. I mean, you hear the stories about, like, they sent... the emissaries, and they wouldn't take off their caps in front of him, so he's like, why don't you take off your cap? He's like, our religion doesn't allow us. And he's like, oh, well, let me help you out with that. And he drove spikes through their head to hold their hats down to their heads. It's like, I wouldn't want you to, like, accidentally lose your hat, you know?
Like, the wind gets kind of gusty up here.
Yeah, he is not nice. I got a storybook about some of the stuff that he does, or he did, like, he's walking the street and he saw a man that was looked like a pretty decent hard worker, but his shirt was frayed, and he asked him, like, what's up with your wife? Why didn't she? He's like, oh, she's pretty good, you know, she's just been busy with the children. He's like, that's no good. So he gets the wife, has her impaled, and then picks another girl from the town to be the guy's new wife, and just, like, points out, like, don't let his shirt get frayed. It's like, Jesus.
God.
Like, just no chill on that guy. So I'm sitting here looking here. That was a few $1,000. If I bring my wife, that's about 10 grand on all the bucket lists. That's not too bad.
It's not too bad. You spend it over time, you can handle that for sure.
All the terrorist shit that's going on in Europe right now, you can get round trip tickets and, like, hotel stays for like $700 a person.
Right.
It's... But then, you know, you take a chance on getting run over by somebody in a truck.
Yeah. You know? But there's just so much out there to go check out. I mean, if you have a love of the supernatural and everything, there's a boom, especially with all these ghost hunting shows and everything else that's on. You know, people are trying to make a buck off of everything. So you got to pick through the ones that are, you know, crap and ones that, you know, you actually might experience.
Well, that's what, if you look at most of my list of stuff that's been around forever, you know, there may or may not be an actual real Loch Ness monster, but there is a really real Loch Ness.
Right, and that has been, you know, part of, we talked about that, just our history personally, you know, mm-hmm. we've just known about that for so long. We just, I don't care if there is one there or not, it's just a matter of going there.
Exactly. You know? Well, it's like you hear Bill Paxton tell the story of how, like, he was in that sub with James Cameron whenever they went down to look at the Titanic. Like, mm-hmm. how cool would that be?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
That would be pretty amazing.
That would just be so cool.
I told you the story about the bugle that I was in my hometown museum. My cousin was a curator. So me and my son were in the back, you know, where stuff first comes in before it gets out, put out front. They haven't been through it yet. And I'm holding this bugle in my hand, and I kind of clean it off a little bit where I can read it. And it had the regiment it belonged to, and what would this come to find out, you know, this thing's in my hand. This was the bugle used by the regiment from my hometown during the Civil War to navigate through the swamp in Florida, where the guy in front would be walking with the bugle, and he'd lay out a note so the people behind him would know which way to go at night, and they'd be able to follow him. And I actually had the horn that the guy used for that in my hand.
Wow.
And that was just, to me, that was amazing.
Absolutely.
You know, that just gave me chills just thinking that I had that, you know, this guy had used this. It came, it went there and came back. It made it back, and I was now holding it, so.
For sure. Well, like I said, my grandfather's he's a war historian. That's just all it is to it. I mean, he knows so many things about so many wars, but for him, his special interests would be the Mexican-American Wars and the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually wrote a book, like he trailed his I don't know if his wife's or his own family back, you know, pretty much all the way to Norway. But in trailing them back, he trailed them back through the Civil War and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he found a picture, and I've probably told this on the show before, but he found a picture of one of his relatives. And he's standing there in a Union uniform, gun in one hand, sweetheart in the other, and the dude is me. It's me.
Really?
It's like a 19-year-old me. And it's weird to look at, because it's like, that would have been, wearing one of those two uniforms would have been my fate at some point. I mean, he survived the war and,
yeah.
You know, whatever. They're from Iowa, but you know, I've got similar, not pictures, but I got similar stories from my dad's side, because they were all from Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Louisiana and East Texas, so they're all, you know, Johnny Reb.
Right.
You know, both sides of my family just lucky enough not to get hit by one of those mini balls. You know, shit.
See, my family was more like Cooter Brown, where they just stayed drunk and stayed on a reservation and just didn't get off of it during anything. Just let everything go by. So,
whatever gets you through the night, man. For real. Because now we can go back and look at these things. Man, that was fucked up.
Because the thing about it is, you know, my family goes back to pre-Louisiana Purchase. So, once Louisiana was purchased by the United States, my family were considered free people of color. So, they just kind of blended in with the Chittimacha tribe and the other tribe that my dad's side comes from. And just hung out on a reservation until everything was over with.
Didn't run around trying to get caught by...
Right, because you don't want to be mistaken for a runaway slave or anything. You got your papers, but, you know, they can only go so far. Somebody could take that, rip it up, and throw it away. And, you know, then you're screwed. And I do have family on my dad's side that... there were slaves. The one heartbreaking story, it's my great-great-great-grandmother Marguerite Guillory, who you can find a lot about her on the internet, because she had a famous case that involved her children, where she had children with the guy who owned her. And the deal was, the children were supposed to remain free, even though she was still a slave, because of the dad. Well, the dad died. And the children went back on that word and enslaved their siblings. And Marguerite had to go and fight for that. And there was a big precedent and everything where the kids weren't allowed to do that. They had to let them remain free. But yeah, it's So yeah, my dad's side do have some. On my mom's side, the strong Native American side, yeah, they just laid back. Those cats were crazy, man. They ended up getting kicked off the reservation 2 generations ago for being too wild. It's the story. I just need to get into the history of my family sometime, just to let you guys. There's murders involved. There's just all kinds of crazy stuff. Got off the reservation, decided to go ahead and try to lay claim to some land somewhere. My cousin found the actual documents from court on this. They found this guy building a store by a railroad track, and they stopped in to talk to him and found out the guy didn't have any family. He was just trying to, you know, old man, just trying to set up shop and kind of retire from, you know, actual hard work. So they killed him and served 30 days and came out and claimed his property. And to this day, my family lives on that acreage.
Wow.
Yeah, my mother grew up on that land. That's where my mom lived when she was growing up. But yeah, there's all kind of ghost stories from that property too.
It's a whole different world back then, man.
Oh yeah, like I said, 30 days for killing a man that came out and took his property. That's pretty crazy, man. It's like the Wild West, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, Adrian Barbeau is my baby.
There you go.
I don't know what it is about her, man. Just...
She's just no nonsense. Well, that's it, guys. That's episode 38, our horror bucket list. We'll swim with sharks in Dracula's castle. No, no regrets. No regrets. Gonna go to check that out. As always, like, comment, share, join the forum, hit us up, send us an email, tell us what you like, what you don't, buy stuff from the Amazon store.
Reach out to us, let us know you're there.
Yeah, let us know. That's it. Stay scary.
Yes, later.